Continue our subject in reference to the personality and the person of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord has directed me to entitle this teaching series. We got about three of them now. This will be the fourth one. We're going to entitle it Divine Partnership. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you are in divine partnership with God Almighty. Amen. Turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. When you get there, say amen. Let's read it all together on the count of three. One, two, three. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Amen. The word communion is the Greek word, and we all know that because we've been teaching it for a few times now. It's the Greek word koinonia. Amen. And that word koinonia means participation, fellowship, or partnership. The Message Bible says the amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God. Watch this. And the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you and I have the ability to access an intimate friendship with the Holy Ghost. Webster's Dictionary says partnership means the state of being a partner, to have a joint interest, a contract by which such an association is created. Sunday we told you that you and I are in a legal binding contract with God Almighty. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you are under contract with God. Amen. You are a partner with God. Look at what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9. Turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9. I'm going to bless you tonight. When you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. See, this kind of teaching right here will really empower you, because for so many times, so many years, so many generations, we were taught that God was way out here and we're down here, and we're these little peon sinners, amen, that is in desperate need of this big blah in the sky, amen. And nobody had intimacy with God, but now we're understanding that God is with us. God is in us. Now, we've been understanding this for years, but we want to bring more light to it, because the more we comprehend that you and I are in fellowship or partnership with God, what it does, it adjusts our mindset. It adjusts our behavior. It adjusts how we respond to certain things, because everything that we do, we have an understanding that God is there. God is with us. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Look at what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, God is what? God is faithful. My God. The Amplified Bible says he is reliable, he is trustworthy, and therefore ever true to his promise, and he can be depended on. I want you to repeat that after me. Say, God is reliable, he's trustworthy, and therefore ever true to his promise, and he can be depended on. Take your neighbor, say, neighbor, God can be depended on. Now, watch this. Before I finish this scripture, I know men have let you down, and I know women have let you down. I know people who have positions of eminence may have broken promises with you. I've broken a number of promises with people. Amen. We're still walking in this human flesh, and we're still learning how to be better people. Amen. And the closer we get to God, the more we associate with God, the more you and I become like God. Amen. God is integrity in its totality. So when we miss it, it's based upon the lack of our intimacy with God. The more we are intimate with God, the more we begin to see him, the more he begins to uncover himself and show us who he is, so that you and I could be more like him. Somebody say, we are meant to be just like Jesus. Now, the Amplified Bible, or 1 Corinthians 1 and 9, the King James says that he's faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. Same Greek word, koinonia, that we use in 2 Corinthians 13 and 14, the word communion. Same Greek word, koinonia. It says the fellowship or the partnership of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now, the New Living Translation. I don't know if you can get that one, Jason. The New Living Translation explains it really perfect right here. And I'm doing some teaching tonight because I want you to grab this thing in your spirit. Amen. Because watch this right here. Let me just say this right here. I was telling Brother Shep right there, before I got born again, somebody say BC, before Christ, before I got born again, when I hung around a bunch of different guys that I called my partners or my homeboys or my, we say ace, boom, coons, we all say all kind of crazy stuff back in my day, but people that was my people that I hung out with, when I hung out with them, if one of them got in a fight, I was swinging too, because I was his what? Partner. If he got in a fight or I got in a fight, he was swinging too. Why? Because we were partners. Amen. Like my wife and I, if I go into debt, she goes into debt with me because she is my partner. Okay. So I want you to understand partnership. Okay. Now watch this right here. Watch what this says right here in the New Living Translation. It said, God will do this, for he is faithful to what he says. And he has invited, somebody say, you've been invited. He's invited you into partnership with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, the word Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. Now, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you have an invitation to partnership, divine partnership with the anointed one, Jesus, and his anointing. We're going somewhere. In order for us to be and do everything that God has called us to be and to do, I'm going to define it as kingdom effectiveness. Somebody say kingdom effectiveness. See, because this stuff right here, it plagues my mind daily when we pray for people and we don't see results. And then we blame it on their lack of faith or you know, we're praying for something and we don't get the answers to the prayer and we see it being prolonged and we come up with some kind of cliche to talk like God sometimes answers prayers, sometimes God says no, amen. But the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 that all the promises of God are yea and amen to them who believe. How many are the promises of God? All the promises. So you and I, because of our partnership, we should be experiencing God's best. So we should be pursuing for God's best. Amen. And I'm going to tell you this right now. And I was telling my staff this morning. The more you pursue God, the more God begins to reveal to you the hindrances to kingdom effectiveness. And most of the hindrances aren't out here. They're in here. We say the enemy is out here, but the inner me is in here. Come on, somebody say amen. So God has given us a method whereby, watch this, whereby he can get us on the same page with him. And I'm going to show it to you right here. Look at this scripture right here. Now I'm going to read this out again. His interests have to become our interests in order for us to experience kingdom effectiveness. God's interests must become our interests. Come on, say this. Say God's interest. It must become our interest in order for us to experience kingdom effectiveness. Now watch this right here. Amos 3:3 says it like this. It's a question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Watch what it says in the New Living Translation. It says, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? That means if I want to go to the church house and you want to go to the clubhouse or the crack house, we're going to part our ways because we are not in agreement. So it's the same with God. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, in the Old Testament, we see Adam walking with God in the cool of the day. The word cool means the spirit of the day. Adam walked in the spirit. He was in communion. He was in relationship, fellowship, and partnership with God Almighty. In such partnership, and you guys heard me say this 1,000 times, in such partnership, this man walked with God, and as the animals came to him, out of his fellowship, out of his partnership, out of his participation with God, he had God's own creative ability flowing through him. And that man was able to give identity to every animal, to every insect. He was the God-man of the earth. Come on, somebody say amen to this. You got to catch this right here. So we are repenting. We are changing our thinking and going back to what we were originally intended to do and to be and walk in. Amen. And guess what? None of us have the ability to do it outside of this partnership with the Holy Spirit. Did you catch this right here? None of us have the ability to be what God called us to be. Doesn't matter how much money you make. Doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. Doesn't matter how big your house is. None of us have the ability to achieve kingdom effectiveness without a close, intimate, personal relationship, participation, and partnership with the Holy Spirit. That means daily, and I'm gonna say this right here, daily we have to spend quality time with him. We're going to take this church somewhere. Daily we have to call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible said, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be sozo, made whole, delivered, rescued. So why aren't we seeing made whole, delivered, and rescued? Because God knows our hearts. Come on, somebody catch what I'm saying. God knows every part of us. He knows when we're real. He knows when we're faking. He knows when we're playing church. He knows when we really mean it with all of our heart. So my heart's prayer right now today for myself, and I prayed this morning, God change me. Come on, somebody say amen. Because the days of us just doing church and playing church, come on, somebody raise your hand if you agree with this. Those days are over because we're living in times where we need a real God to touch the real needs of real people out there. Amen. We need a real God. Amen. Amen. Praise God in heaven. So how can two walk together except they be agreed? Now watch this right here. Romans chapter 8 verse 14. We're going to bring some things out. I want you to go here right quick. We're going to bring some things out that's going to bless your socks off. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. I'm going to challenge all you teenagers to get this up under your little African stick tonight. Get this up under your belt tonight. Amen. Get this message in you. Amen. Don't be like, oh, this for the old people. No, this for kids. We had kings that reigned when they were 8 years old in the old covenant. David was anointed king over Israel at 16 years old. Catch what I'm saying? I'm telling you, the same anointing that he operated in is in you right now. Romans 8 and 14, on the count of three, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. For as many as are by the Spirit of God, they are the what? The sons of God. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I don't know about you, but I am absolutely led by the Spirit of God. Now, Jesus is our example of being led by the Spirit of God. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, turn there. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jason, I want you to pull up the Amplified Bible translation if you can, if that is possible. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. You guys could turn there and I'm going to read it. Amen. Help me, Holy Spirit. Y'all learning something tonight? I'm telling you, you know what faith is, y'all? Faith is confidence. So I say confidence. Confidence in God's word. Now watch this right here. The more you begin to develop your inner man with this message, what's going to happen is that you'll be walking down the street and you'll be conscious of God's presence. You'll be confident when you lay hands on somebody that you are not by yourself, but God is with you. That's what Emmanuel means. It means God with us. Whew, my God. What it means is that, guess what? Whatever you're going through, you're not going through it by yourself. You're not going through it by yourself. Now, Jesus never said that you wouldn't go through things. But he said, listen, he said, my peace I leave you, not like the world giveth. He said, neither let your heart be troubled in fear, anxiety, unsettled, or tormented. He said, my peace I leave you. The same peace that he walked in, that presence of the Holy Ghost, when the enemy came against him and when people tried to throw him off a cliff, that same peace, that same confidence that he walked in, you have it right now. So at your job, if people are ridiculing you, at your home, if people are talking about you, it don't even matter because you got perfect and perpetual peace. The more that you stay consistent in placing your mind upon him and understanding that you are not alone. You are not by yourself, but God is with you. Whoo, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, God is with me. My God, I'm hearing the Holy Ghost right now. Joshua chapter 1, God gave Joshua confidence. He said, Joshua, he said, just like I was with Moses, surely I will also be with you. And he said, and no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Why? Not because you're strong, not because you're sword, not because you're gun, not because you're talent, not because you're skill, but because God is with you. Whew. My God. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm just going to release it right now. There is nothing that can hold you, nothing that can stop you, nothing that you can't put your hand to and make it come to pass. No place wherever the sole of your feet tread upon, that ground belongs to you. Nobody can stop you, not a devil in hell. Why? Because God is with you. God is with you. Come on, somebody say amen. God is with me. Oh, my God. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you got to be led. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, the Amplified Bible says, then Jesus, full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit. He was full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Let's flip it around. Guess what? You can be empty of and not controlled by the Holy Spirit. Or you can be full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit. You can be full. You can be full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Watch this right here. I'm trying to drive that thing home. He was full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Returned from Jordan and was what? Led in by the Holy Spirit. Here's the revelation right here. In order for you to be led by the Spirit of God, you have to be first full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit. In order for you to be led by the Holy Spirit, you have to be full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit. The word led is the Greek word ago. Somebody say ago. It means to carry. It means to bring. It means to lead. Watch this. It means to rule, and it means to govern. Now, years ago, the Holy Spirit said something to me. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. You could just write it down. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And the word kingdom, basileia, means the rule of God, the reign of God, the realm of God, the government of God. I am convinced, watch this right here, based upon what he said to me years ago, that he wasn't just making reference to the kingdom of God as we know it, us ruling and us having dominion. The Spirit of God spoke to me and said, in order for you to rule, you must first be ruled. I'm going to say it again. In order for you to rule, you must first be ruled. There is no kingdom authority without first coming under kingdom authority. So to seek the kingdom of God is twofold. It means to seek to be ruled and controlled and under the government and the jurisdiction of God. And then under that submission, you have the ability to rule and to reign. Did y'all just catch what I'm saying here? You can't change anything out here until you first allow the Holy Ghost to change you in here. That's going to make it even better. We can't change anything out here. And see, guess what? We were born to be in control. That's why we try to control each other. That's why marriages don't work, because people want to be in control. Come on, somebody say amen. But in order for the marriage to work, you got to implement Ephesians 5 and 21. The Bible says, out of reverence for God, submit yourselves therefore unto God, or to each other, submitting yourselves unto each other out of reverence for God. See, God, the kingdom of God operates totally different than the world system. The world system says, I'm a man, so you can do what I say. But the kingdom of God says, love your wife. Well, how am I going to love here? You're going to get up under the control of me. Learn how to love me. Learn how to submit to me. And out of that, now, love your wife. And guess what? This is powerful right here. You ready right here? Love is the most powerful force on the planet. Love is the most powerful force in the universe. When we operate in love, we are operating in complete dominion. When we operate in love, somebody say love. See, it's easy to control people, just to run around and just make people do what you want them to do. But it's another story to love people. Amen. Here we go. God has a method of getting us on the same page with him in order so we can be led, in order so that we can, amen, understand what this partnership with him is all about. Amen. Because you and I are co-laborers together with him. This partnership means that we should be experiencing kingdom effectiveness, not just for our own personal lives, but for everybody that's around us. You hear what I'm saying? Jesus' partnership with the Holy Ghost gave him the ability to walk on water. Jesus' partnership with the Holy Ghost gave him the ability to speak to the fig tree and command that no man eat from it another day. Jesus, watch this. Jesus' partnership with the Holy Ghost gave him the ability to raise the dead. Proof. Jesus said this right here. I told my staff this 2 days ago. He said, you do err or you miss the mark because you don't know the scripture nor the power of God. So in order to have kingdom effectiveness, you got to have the scripture and the power. I'm going to say something powerful. If you have the scripture with no power, you're going to be legalistic. If you have the power with no scripture, you're going to be flaky. Amen. Here's what I mean. People who have power without scripture, amen, are people who see demons on light poles all the time. Now, I've seen demons manifest. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just showing you something. You know, you ever been around a person like that? Everything, they see demons everywhere. No disrespect about it. Now, I done seen that a lot in my life. I was at a gas station one time, and I, honest to God, all I was doing was buying me an energy drink. That's all I was doing. And I walked in there with my energy drink, and I went up to go up to the counter, and right there, demon manifested right there in front of me. And I just saw something open up like that, and it looked at me. I said, glory be to God. Amen. So it does happen. But what happened is that we as human beings, we get accustomed to a certain way of how God operates, and then we make that a doctrine. So now people see demons in the windows. They see them on top of houses. They see them in the bedroom, in the garbage can, hopping up and down. You know what I mean? So when you have power without word, you don't have no government or no boundaries to keep yourself within. When you have word without power, you have legalism. You understand that right there? So Jesus said, you do err because you don't know the scripture and you don't know the power of God. So in order for us to experience kingdom effectiveness based upon our partnership with the Holy Spirit, we're going to have to know the word and the power. That's how we're led by the Spirit of God. That's how we get full of the Spirit of God. Amen. Watch this. A person who does not, listen, I'm going to say this. You can write this down. A person that does not pray on a consistent basis and speak and declare the word of God cannot be full of the Holy Ghost. A person that does not praise and worship and magnify cannot be full of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost ain't going to just jump on you. You sitting there, you know what I mean, picking your nose and everything, and everybody else raising their hands. You're not going to experience God's power. Smith Wigglesworth said that God will step over 1 million people to get to one person that operates in faith. See, God is looking for people that are passionately desiring him. The more our desire for him increases, the more we get desperate of him. Somebody say desperate. My God, when I first met my wife, I was desperate. I'm still desperate now, but I was desperate. You catch what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about, brother, when you first meet him. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You didn't let the dandruff get in your hair. When you first meet him, everything had to be right. You know what I mean? Back then, I had the Sammy J. Davis Jr. curl. It came straight back like that. It went down like that in the front. You know, like Ready for the World. Never really mattered too much to me. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Who know Ready for the World? I had the little curl coming down like that. The bad part about it, it was knockoff curl. It was luster silk. It didn't get put in. Listen, it didn't get put in by the beautician. It got put in by my mama. So when she put the luster silk in, you know what I mean? Half of it was nappy and the other part was curly. So I was spraying. You know what I'm talking about when you go over, you're cutting them house and you sit back in the couch and you get up and the whole couch is black. You know what I mean? And greasy and everything. Amen. But I was desperate. Put your clothes right. I'm one of them crease guys. I can't wear pants without a crease. I don't know how guys just throw their clothes in the dryer. You know what I mean? And just fluff them up and just put them on. I got to put mine out across the thing, and I got to iron them. And I got to have a crease in them. I used to wear them silk shirts. My wife would tell you, had them silk shirts. Boy, I was clean. You know what I mean? But I was desperate. You know, you get on the phone every day, and you talking to them. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Come on, somebody say amen. But over time, you start to get familiar. And then you start devaluing that which you once was desperate for. Likewise, it's the same way in God. You can get close to God. I heard Dr. Robert Leardon say one time, he said, I'm an old man. He said, no, I'm an old drunk, and it takes a lot more for me to get drunk. He was talking about drunk in the Holy Ghost. See, when you start practicing the presence of God and getting full of the presence of God, full of the Spirit of God, what happens is that you can grow accustomed to his presence. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying here? You can get used to it, and you can start losing value for it. So every day you got to get up fresh and new. That's what happened in the Old Testament. They asked God, they said, God, can you feed us? And God sent a manna. And they was like desperate for it. And they ran after that manna and thanking God and praising God. But then somebody came up with the bright idea. Hey, man, go get the wheelbarrow. Go get the trailer. Go get the U-Haul. Bring it on over here. We can go ahead and load everything up and we can have enough for a couple weeks. And what happened? They woke up the next morning and their desperation for God was gone. Therefore, the manna ceased and the manna got molded. Are you understanding the principle right here? Yesterday's, let me just break it down. Yesterday's time with God has nothing to do with today. Yesterday's revelation that you got from God has absolutely nothing to do with today. Just because we had a good church service a couple days ago has nothing to do with today. You got to wake up every morning with your bat, your helmet, looking at the bases and saying, baby, I'm going to hit a home run in God today. Don't you dare get up out the bed and miss your time with God. My God, amen. I'm telling you, we're going somewhere with this. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Here's God's method. John chapter 14, 15 through 17. Go back there and we're going to continue teaching on the six things here. But I'm tying them into a method here. Amen. Somebody tell me what the time is. God's time. Okay, praise God. We good. We good. St. John chapter 14, verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Watch this. He said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Notice he didn't just say, he shall give you a comforter. He said, he shall give you another comforter. He was speaking because he was about to go away, and he was their comforter. Jesus was the physical representation of their life coach. He was teaching them everything that they needed to know to be like him. Amen. Can you imagine 3.5 years being with Jesus? See, we gotta wade through all of the false doctrine and all of the misconceptions of Christianity that we have learned for thousands of years. But these guys heard it right from the horse's mouth. I mean, they heard stuff like, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Now, we got to take that scripture, Mark 9 and 20, 23, and we got to meditate that thing, chew it, confess it 1,000 times before we get it in our spirit that he really meant that all things are possible. But these guys were with him. And not only did he teach it, I'm trying to paint a picture to you. Not only did he teach it, but he demonstrated it, Luke said. Luke said, these are the things that Jesus both taught and demonstrated. So he taught it and he demonstrated. Amen? Prime example. A man came down through his roof because there was no room in the house to bring him in through the doors. So men got on top of the roof, brought him down through the roof. When he got down through the roof, Jesus saw their faith. And when he saw their faith, he walked up to him and said, son, your sins are forgiven. And the doctors of the law stood back and said, who do you think you are saying sins are forgiven? Man can't forgive sin. Jesus said, okay, check this out. Which one do you want me to do? He said, do you want me to tell him his sins are forgiven? Or do you want me to tell him to rise up and take his bed? He said, so that you might know that man has dominion, get up out your bed. So he didn't only teach it, he demonstrated it. On the Sabbath day, there was a man with a withered hand. And Jesus just looked around, tried to find something that he can irk them Pharisees with. Amen. And he told the man, he said, right on the Sabbath day. Now, you ain't supposed to heal people on the Sabbath day. He said, stretch forth your hand. And the man stretched his hand forth. He didn't just teach it, but he demonstrated it. His interests have to become our interests in order for us to experience those kind of kingdom effectiveness or that kind of kingdom effectiveness. Are y'all catching this message tonight? Are you catching it tonight? So we're going to have to submit our hearts to what his interests are and lose our interests, because our interest is what's hindering kingdom effectiveness. I'm talking to myself. He said, if you love me, he said, I'll give you another comforter, allos parakletos, one who is called alongside to aid you and to assist you. Whatever it is you're going through, he's there to help you. Okay? That he may abide with you forever, even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, shall be in you. Somebody say, he's with me and he's in me. Now, let's look at the Amplified Bible of that same scripture. If you go on down to verse 26, he tells you, he uses the word comforter again. Somebody say, the Holy Ghost is our comforter. Now, if you look at the Amplified Bible, I don't know if you can get that up, Jason. Maybe you can. Has he been able to pull them up? Amplified? Well, glory to God. The Amplified Bible says this right here. If you really love me, you will keep, obey my commandments. Now, I'm going to tell you something powerful today. Say, neighbor, we serve a God of grace. Matter of fact, we are in the grace covenant. Now, don't take what pastor's about to say wrong now. But the Bible says in Isaiah that the willing and the obedient will eat the good of the land. God is going to take us over into obedience. Let me teach you by the Spirit of God. Obedience is not rules and regulations. When your heart is so consumed with his interests, you just want to do what he wants to do. Jesus said, I only do those things that I see my Father do. One translation for the word see is think. That means Jesus was so consumed with his Father, so under the control, we saw that he was full of the Holy Ghost and under the control of the Holy Ghost. He was so under control of him that he thought like him. He didn't need to pray if he should feed somebody because he thought like his Father. He didn't need to pray if he should heal somebody because he thought like his Father. He had been around his Father so much, he thought like him. And because he thought like him, he responded and acted like him. That is obedience. Did you just catch that right there? The more we get close to God, his interests become our interests. We begin to value what he values. Amen. And then we just innately do what he does. You catch that? Amen. Let's see it right here. He said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another comforter. Here's the words for comforter. Counselor. Somebody say counselor. Helper. Intercessor. Advocate. Strengthener. And standby. It says that he may remain with you forever. Now, you know, I was questioning the Holy Ghost about this right here, because last week we taught on counselor and we taught on helper. The word counselor means a legal advisor. 1 John 2:27 says, the anointing that abides in you will teach you everything. He will give you advice on everything. You don't need any man to teach you. That's what the word says. Now, it's not telling you to lose value or get familiar with men, because all things have to be equal. But he's letting you know that you don't have a deficit in your life. The same anointing that Jesus walked in, you have it right now. The same anointing that your pastor has, you have it right now. The same Holy Spirit Benny Hinn has, you have him right now. The same Holy Spirit that Creflo and Kenneth Copeland, you have him on the inside of you right now. The same Holy Spirit. Somebody say the same Holy Spirit. So that's what he's telling you. You don't have to always run to men. You know, it's so easy to run to men, but sometimes we just need to run and hit our knees and start getting legal advice and instruction from the counselor. Are you catching what I'm saying? Matter of fact, we won't have to counsel people so much when they really start submitting to God. I'm beyond. We shouldn't have to have marriage counseling all the time. I love what this one pastor said. He said this. This is powerful. Right in the middle of the service, he was preaching. And he said to his secretary, and I might do this too. He said, Anybody who set up an appointment with me next week to meet with me, if they're not in church today, cancel the appointment. He said, because if they can't hear from God, they really don't need to sit down and hear from me. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. This is deep. This is real talk here, because what it's doing, and I know I'm not teaching tonight, but what it's doing is it's pushing us to our personal responsibility of being in partnership with God, not based upon no man. One of the biggest tragedies that ever happened with Catholicism is we raised men up. And now we got everybody pointing to one man. Don't point to me, because then I'm going to fall. My job is just to be one of the fivefold ministry to help you see what's already in you. Like I used to say about Bruce Lee, somebody said, lead a guy, teach me how to do kung fu. He said, I teach you nothing. I only show you what's in you. That's what a teacher's job is, to show, to point, to reveal. What? What's already in you. The same thing that's in me. That's the purpose of discipleship, to make you like the master. The word disciple is the Greek word mathetes, which means one who adheres to his master's instructions and make them his conduct for living. So that means, the word says in the book of Luke chapter 6, it says that the servant is not greater than the master, but is perfect, or is just enough that he be just like him. That's powerful. That's powerful. So the preaching and the teaching of the word of God should take you beyond you just thinking that you're some little peon. It should take you to a place where you realize that I'm just like Jesus. He died. He's my master. He died. And my job as a pastor and every other pastor, our job is supposed to be to point and to show you what's in you. Don't that take the responsibility off of us? Amen. Guess what? That'll help you pray for your pastor more. That'll help you pray for him more. Amen. Because you'll realize that, guess what? He a man just like you. He put on his pants just like you. He got to exercise, get rid of his belly just like you. Come on, somebody say amen. He like pulled pork just like you. Amen. I know some people don't like the pig because they think the demon in the pig, but I like the pig. Amen. Now, I don't need to eat a lot of pig, but I like the pig. Amen. Did y'all taste that pig the other day? That was some good pig. I forgot all about it was pig. I was about to make me a commercial and say, another white meat. Amen. I'm tripping, y'all. We learned that he is our counselor, legal advisor. We learned that he is our helper. Somebody say helper. It means to aid or to assist. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16 paints a picture of Jesus. And then he shows us in verse 16 that we have the ability to come confidently, boldly, and fearlessly before the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace to help in a time of trouble. Now, I'm going to go to what I was questioning the Holy Ghost about. I'm just going to do it because this is what he's dealing with me on. You ready? Tell your name, say neighbor. The Holy Spirit is also our intercessor. Come on, say it. He's my intercessor. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I won't get past this one because I'm going to be done after I give you a few scriptures, because tonight in Jesus' mighty name, we're going to make it so that when you walk up out of here, amen, you're going to have the ability to tap into something that's going to take you into a whole nother realm. Somebody say a whole nother realm. Man, I wish I was 15 years old and I heard this kind of stuff. I wish I was 15 and heard it. When I was 15, all I heard was, boys in the hood is always hard. Come talking that trash and we'll pull your car. That's all I heard when I was 15. I didn't hear nothing about no intercessor and Holy Ghost and all that stuff. Amen. I didn't hear nothing about that. All I heard was colors, 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 colors. I am a knight. That's what I heard. I was in the green van. I was in the Cobras. And we had the door open with a big Cobra on the back in Southwest Detroit. And we went there. We was drinking and sniffing and fighting while at Ford in Wyoming, while the movie Colors came out. And they ran us up out of the place. That's all I knew when I was that age. Somebody say amen. 15 years old getting this kind of stuff. Man, I'd be so powerful. Glory to God. Somebody say intercessor. The Holy Ghost is our intercessor. It means to intercede on behalf of. It means to plead or make a request on behalf of another. It means to go between in order to bring into agreement. The Holy Ghost is our intercessor. to intercede on behalf of, to plead or make a request on behalf of another, to go between in order to bring into agreement. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. We're going to be delicate with this right here, okay? Because I want to help you. I want you to read verse 26 with me. You ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. Stop right there. What does the word infirmities mean? Weaknesses. Do you have any weaknesses? Guess what? Without the Holy Ghost's help, you're going to keep your weaknesses. I'm just trying to show you something. Without the help of the Holy Ghost, you're going to keep your weaknesses. You know, when the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, I prayed that God would remove this thing from me thrice. And he said, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said, my strength is made perfect in your weaknesses. So our weaknesses should push us to the presence of God. Don't ever be afraid of your weaknesses. I'm trying to help you tonight. I got weaknesses. And you know what they do? They push me to his presence. Because I realize that if I don't pursue his presence, my weakness can grow. And I don't want to be a mockery to the kingdom of God. Raise your hand if you got weaknesses. Let me give you another definition. Contradictions of the flesh. Anybody got any fleshly contradictions? Raise your hand. The Bible says, likewise also, the Holy Spirit helpeth our weaknesses. Now, we're going to tell you how he does it. You ready? Let's finish. One, two, three. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, circle itself, should be himself. The Holy Ghost is not a it. The Spirit himself does what? Who's making the intercession? Who's making the intercession? I want you to catch this. Who's making the intercession? I'm going to help you tonight. The Spirit is making intercession. Now, we found out the word intercession means to intercede or to go on behalf of another, to go between in order to bring into agreement. So when my weakness is not in agreement with God's word, the Holy Ghost prays through me, enabling me to line myself up in agreement with his word. Did you catch that right there? Did you catch that right there? Without the Holy Spirit interceding through me, my weakness still remains. Y'all catching this right here? This answers, watch this. This is going to answer the question why some people continue with the same struggle for years. Some people can have struggles of anger in their heart and never grow out of it. You know why? Because likewise, also, the Spirit helpeth our weaknesses. And for that person, anger is a weakness. Some person can have lust in their life and they're addicted to lust. And every time they think they got that thing conquered, that thing jump back up and arrest them and pull them under its control. And they say, how come I can't defeat this? Likewise, also, the Spirit helpeth our weaknesses. So if we don't turn and depend on the power of God and we don't get full of the Spirit of God and allow him to dominate us, praying through us, guess what happens? The weakness remains. I'm trying to help somebody tonight. Because guess what? The weakness and the contradiction of the flesh is the very thing that hinders kingdom effectiveness. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. And guess what it else does? Guess what else it does? Can I talk to somebody tonight? I'm going to finish in a minute because I'm going to talk about praying in tongues. But can I talk to somebody tonight? Glory be to God. The enemy is a setup. When you don't depend on the Holy Ghost, here's what happens. You get over into the weakness, and then the enemy comes and accuses you, and then he implements judgment and condemnation. That's why people run out of the church and never come back, because the devil's telling them that, what are the people going to think? They hadn't seen me there 2 or 3 weeks, and now people are talking about me. Come on, somebody say amen to this. And unless you know how to master that evil spirit of condemnation, you won't be able to be effective for God ever. Now, some people tell you, oh, God loves you and God's grace. I'm going to tell you the truth right now. If you don't learn how to depend on the Holy Ghost, you will never be, never, ever, ever be effective for the kingdom of God. No Christian was ever created, listen, no Christian was ever created to have a relationship with God without the person of the Holy Ghost. It amazes me that we don't have a problem, God the Father, God the Son, but God the Holy Ghost is in us and upon us and with us, and he's the most ignored person of the Godhead. I'm talking to somebody tonight. So we got to change how we do stuff. You can't just get up. Listen, I'm with my wife. I can't be in the same house with my wife and don't say hi and don't say hello. Am I talking to somebody tonight? I can't be in the same house with my wife and don't sit down and have fellowship and break bread. Come on, brother. You won't be married long if you do that to your wife, right? Amen. We got muscles. I see your muscles. I got muscles too. But we all know that if you make one of these women mad, R. Kelly said, when a woman fed up, ain't nothing you can do about it. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Amen. You ain't going to sit up in no house with no woman and just ignore her. She going to demand your attention. You married to my wife, she's going to be like, hey, you need to sit down here and talk to me. Don't look at me, G. I know your wife. Amen. I know your wife. Am I telling the truth, women? You know, there's a book out that Edwin Lewis Cole wrote called Communication, Sex, and Money. Those three things are the hindrances to any marriage. Communication, sex, and money. It's the same with God. Communication, sex, intimacy, money. Most people don't want to tithe. So it breaks our fellowship. Doesn't break our relationship. There's a difference between relationship, brother and sister in Christ, and fellowship. See, my daughter is my daughter. Whether she goes outside and shoots up the whole neighborhood, she's still my daughter. But it hinders my fellowship. Did y'all catch that right there? She don't stop being my daughter because of what she did. But it hinders the fellowship. Let's finish this because I want to help somebody tonight. I want to push you to the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that when he prays for us or intercedes for us, he does it with what? Help me. Groanings, which cannot be uttered. One translation said, cannot be uttered with human articulation or words. Now, I'm trying to show you something right here. When you read this whole chapter, you're going to see that what the Apostle Paul is talking about is our heavenly language. I want to help somebody out tonight. Our heavenly language. When I'm praying in the Spirit, because I want to help somebody. When I'm praying in the Spirit, there are times that I go over into what the Word of God calls travailing. There are times when I go over into what the Word of God calls groaning. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, he said, I travail as a woman giving birth to a child until Christ be formed in you. I'm trying to help you tonight. The Spirit of God makes intercession through us. He prays through us in a heavenly language that enables us to override and conquer our fleshly contradictions and weaknesses. You know what I'm saying? Because this is why the enemy has fought this particular gift of the Spirit for so long. He's fought this because, let me just show you right here. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Just turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm going to be done, y'all. I promise. I'm going to be done. I'm going to do two more scriptures, and I'm going to be done. I know that ain't proper language, but I'm going to be done. Is somebody getting help tonight? See, when I pray, we pray with our staff. I have to watch myself because I get upset when I see the staff praying, and they're praying like this. Ain't no noise coming out their mouth. They just sitting there. And I can't get upset with them because their intimacy has to grow with God. You can't say you know God and you ain't opening up your mouth. It's impossible. I know my wife and I open up my mouth. Amen. You got to open up your mouth. The Bible say, sing a new song. Make a joyful noise. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Our relationship with God should be exemplified and expressed in our ability to open up our mouth and praise him. Amen. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Jesus said, when you pray, say. You're sitting there like this. What are you doing? I'm praying. No, you're not praying. You're meditating. You're thinking. You're not praying. Praying requires noise and words. Come on, somebody say amen. Okay? And this is important because you'll never move into these stages where you tap into the supernatural. We're talking supernatural. You'll never tap into the supernatural realm unless you renew your mind concerning praying in tongues. You'll never tap. That's why this gift is fought so much. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. Let's read it on the count of three. One, two, three. For he that speaketh in and speaketh not unto, but unto, for no man understandeth him. How many men understand him? How many men understand him? Now, this does away with people. This now, see, and this is why the enemy has fought it, because people say, well, when they were in the book of Acts chapter 2, when they heard them in their own languages, and we know that to be true. But you have to keep reading the word, because if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and go down to verse 28, he talks about the different gifts that are in the house. He says, first apostles, prophets, thirdly teachers. Then he says healings and miracles. And then he says administration helps. And then he ends it with diversities of tongues. Somebody say diversities of tongues. The word diversity means different. There are tongues for interpretation. There are tongues for purification. There are tongues for meditation. There are tongues for revelation. And there are tongues for edification. Somebody say different kinds of tongues. And you'll know it because, you know, can I just talk about it tonight, y'all? We're going to be, when my wife get over into a third gear in praying in tongues, you can tell she right there next to God because they go into some type of Japanese stuff. And when she's praying, it's like, come on, somebody say amen. Everybody express themselves differently when they're in the presence of God. You know what I mean? I told G-Rod the other day, when he praying in tongues, he sounded like Barry White. You know what I mean? I think he's about to start singing. Shep sound like he about to fight somebody. And if you ever hear Brother Jason, I had to throw him in there. He sound like he done went to a karate class. He like, you know. But I'm saying, you know what? If people came through the doors, I'm going to be honest. If somebody came through the doors, they'd be like, this is some crazy stuff. But I'm giving you permission as your pastor, be crazy. Whatever you got, listen, whatever you got to do to develop yourself in that gift, get on your knees, go hide up in the tree, you know, go outside and sit down in the weeds. I don't care what you got to do to develop that gift, because the more you develop that gifts, watch this right here. I'm just going to show it to you. Verse 2 says right here, for no man understanding him, howbeit in the spirit. Somebody say in the spirit. Somebody say in the spirit. He's speaking what? The Amplified says divine secrets. Ooh. See, you have a divine partnership with God, and you have ability to speak divine secrets. That means the Holy Ghost will pray through you stuff that is only God's will. It's divine secrets, things that have been hidden. You know, when I'm praying, let me just help you out. Kenneth Hagin, Papa Hagin. You know, he used to walk like this and hold his Bible like this. And he'd say, turn your Bible to the book of Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. And he walked real slow. But Kenneth Hagin told a story about praying in tongues. Somebody say praying in tongues. He prayed in tongues for 1 hour. He said when he got done, the devil talked to him and said, you just wasted your time. He said, okay, devil, I'm going to pray in tongues for another hour. So he prayed in tongues for another hour. When he got done with that hour, brother, the devil spoke to him and said, you just wasted 2 hours. He said, okay, devil, I'm letting you know I'm not going to quit. I'm going to pray in tongues for another hour. At the end of the third hour, Kenneth Hagin made reference to Jesus appearing to him and told him his whole lifetime ministry. Now, if you do research on Kenneth Hagin, as a prophet of God, has had one of the most powerful, some of the most powerful experiences, and more men of God has came out of his ministry than I can even number from any other man of God. I came out of his ministry. Pastor Healy came out of his ministry. Creflo came out of his ministry. Joyce Meyer came out of his ministry. Come on, somebody say amen. Everybody that you see on TV came out of Kenneth Hagin. That's powerful, ain't it? Pastor Dave Robertson got a book, and I recommend that you get it. You can get it online for free tonight. Go home, get on your computer, and look up Dave Robertson Ministries. When you go there, he got a book called The Walk of Spirit and The Walk of Power. If you ever have any questions about praying in tongues, you need to get that book. I'm going to tell you right now that the devil want to keep you out of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let's go back there again. I'm going to be done right here. I said, Holy Ghost, you want me to teach this? He said, Claude, are you going to please me or man? I said, Lord, I'm going to please you. Look at verse 4. On the count of three, I want you to see why the devil don't want you to pray in tongues. 14 verse 4, on the count of three, let's read it. 1, 2, 3. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Oh, my God. Stop right there. What happens when you pray in an unknown tongue? What does the word edify mean? I do believe, somebody can check me, check reference. I believe it's the Greek word oikidomo. It means to build an edifice. It means to build yourself up. To build. See, the world is always constantly trying to tear you and I down. So in the midst of being in this system where we're getting tore down, bill collectors calling, you know, people cussing you out, you know, family members hating you because now you're a Christian and you think you're better than everybody else, you need to go somewhere and get built up. And sometimes you come to church and you still don't get built up. David had a secret. He said, you know what, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. How are you going to encourage yourself? How are you going to embolden yourself? How are you going to build yourself up? Praying in tongues. Now, here's a misconception right here. Can I just help you? Can I help you? Is that all right? Here's a misconception. Most people just wait for the Holy Ghost to jump on them. The Bible said the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. If you prayed in tongues once, then pray in tongues again. Open up your mouth. Holy Ghost, I'm praying in tongues right now. But the enemy scream at your head and get you all in fear, make you think that that gift is only for one time. And the biggest lie he ever sold the church is that tongues ain't for everybody. That's the biggest lie he ever sold the church. And if they did a study concerning praying in tongues, they will recognize that there are diverse kinds of tongues. Tongues for interpretation aren't for everybody. Not everybody has the gift to be able to interpret tongues. Now, I've watched Brother Mark Hankins, and I watched Bishop Keith Butler. And when they get together, there's like a magnet between both of them. Mark Hankins will be on stage and he'll be like, yeah, my so ko pra pa, and yeah, my se ke branda homo domo. And next thing you know, you can tell, word for word, Bishop Butler come behind him and interpret that tongue. And it will edify the whole entire church. I'm about to finish. Jump down to verse 13. You there yet? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 13. How many people going to pray in tongues more? Come on, raise your hand. You're going to pray in tongues more. Come on. This is important. Look at verse 13. You ready? On the count of three, let's read it. 1, 2, 3. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Look at verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown, my what? But my understanding is what? That just beats everything down. Everybody say, well, when somebody prays, somebody should be. No, the Bible said no man understands him. Howbeit in the spirit, he's speaking mysteries. When you, watch this, when you're praying in tongues, I'll give you a revelation. Your spirit is praying. But even greater than that, the Holy Spirit is praying through your spirit. And he's praying words that you cannot articulate. Groanings, travailings. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But the Bible calls it the perfect will of God. I like what Kenneth Hagin said. You bypass your head. Sometimes we need a head bypass. We get triple bypass surgery for our hearts and stuff. We need like a quadruple bypass on the head. Because the head gets you in trouble. And guess what? When you're praying in English, sometimes you run out of things to pray, don't you? That's why you get people, you have an all-night prayer meeting. We used to have all-night prayer meetings at Christian Life. I remember it was funny. You know what I mean? People all gung-ho the first hour. We're going to pray all night. About 2 hours later. You walk over to them. You know what I mean? Amen. We did that at our church. We did all-night prayer. We're going back to it here soon we get the heat on, but we going back to it here, amen. But we was at our other building over there, and we had some brothers over there. I think it was Brother Jason Ide. He was on the floor, and it was somebody else on the floor, whatever. And we over there in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues. I think RJ was with me. It might have been somebody. We off in the spirit, boy. We praying and praying and praying. And I look over there, and somebody over there. Who was there with me that night? Somebody was in there with me that night. Jason was stressed out on the sleeping bag. That was some funny mess. All night prayer, and then got up in the morning late, got dressed, and was like, "We were here for all night prayer." You ain't pray no all night. Go somewhere and sit down. Amen. I'm sorry for keeping y'all long. I just wanted to help you. Get a load of hand clap. Get a load of hand clap. Did you learn something tonight? Did you learn something tonight? Here's my challenge for you tonight. The Holy Spirit is our intercessor. I'm going to show you something. Now, here's something else the Spirit of God showed me about Romans chapter 8. If you keep reading after 26 and 27, you get to verse 28. It says, "And all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose." Okay? Now, and what we do is we take that scripture and we grab our spiritual shovel and we pull that scripture out. And we take it out of context. So when something bad happened to us, what do? All things work together for good. But you can't pull it out of context because he's talking about praying in tongues. When you get down to verse 29, he tell you what his purpose is. Those us who he foreknew, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. How do we glue it together? When you and I pray in tongues, there are things shifting, there are things changing in your life, personally. Why? Because the perfect will of God is being prayed through you. The Holy Ghost is praying through you. And things that you don't know or know how to pray, or you don't even know what you ought to pray, the Spirit of God knows. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that the Spirit of God searches all things. Somebody say all things. It says, yea, the deep things of God. The Amplified says the bottomless things. That means there is no limit to God. So the Spirit of God digs down inside and he pulls up the purpose and plan and destiny of God that God put on the inside of you. And he unravels it in a way through praying in tongues that Satan can't interpret. You better catch what I just said right there. He can't interpret it. So pray in tongues. I'm challenging you. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Come join us. We pray every day. Praying in tongues. Praying in English. We'll pray in tongues for an hour and then we'll switch. Whew, and we'll start praying in English. And our English prayer becomes so strong, don't it, Cornelius? It gets so strong, like today was just so powerful up in here. I'm telling you, I wanted to pull both of my arms off. It was that powerful in Jesus' name. And confidence is being built up. Amen. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet.